tonight from the 7th chapter of Acts. Acts chapter number 7. Thank the Lord. Before I read the scripture, I'd like to give some background as to some things that had happened before that which transpires in the 7th chapter. Jesus had returned to the Father in heaven. He had said that I'm going away. I'm going to be crucified and buried, and I'm going to rise again the third day. And then I'm going to send to my Father. But He said, when I get there, I am going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. And they didn't want Him to go. Peter said, oh, you can't go. What are we going to do? And the others chimed in that, well, Peter was saying, you can't even die. But He said, it's fitting for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. It's important for you, it's necessary for you that I go away, because I can only be with you at one place and I cannot be over there. But when the Comforter comes, when the Holy Ghost comes, He can be with every one of you wherever you are. Aren't you glad He went away and sent the Holy Ghost? Thank God. When He said, I will, and then when you come to the 2nd chapter of Acts, as is recorded, Jesus has arrived back in the Father, at the sight with His Father in glory, and on the day of Pentecost, He sends the Comforter, and the Bible tells us that when He did, they were endued with power from on high. God anointed them and blessed them, and on that very day, when the Holy Ghost came, Peter was anointed and preached one message, and 3,000 were saved. God was moving. God was blessing. In the 3rd chapter, the lame man at the temple gate was healed as Peter and John were going to the house of the Lord for prayer and stopped by where he was. And Peter said to the man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And when Peter took him by the hand, the power of God went through his body and into his ankle bones, and he was healed and he came up praising God. Thank God. And the Bible tells me that after that time, and the religious leaders didn't want to hear any more about this man, Jesus, and they were upset with Peter and John and the others, and persecution came, and Peter and John were put in prison. When they were let out, having been told not to preach any more in the name of Jesus, the Bible lets me to know that, without going into any detail, we come to the place what has transpired between that time and went on from there. We read that the church continued to grow. God continued to bless. And the Bible says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Spirit of God was moving, and the Lord added unto the church those that He saw were hungry for the things of God. And because of that growth, the Bible tells me that the apostles decided to elect some deacons. And they did. In the 6th chapter of Acts, they decided we need some help along with to take care of the administrative work and the things of the church work, and so they elected 7 deacons. And we find that Stephen was one of those 7 that were chosen. And the Bible says in the 6th chapter, in the 5th verse, he was a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. 2, after he and the others were ordained by the apostles, the Bible tells me that the word of the Lord increased in number, and increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. As I was reading that, I made a note of that. After they had been ordained by the apostles and going about the work of God as deacons in the church just grew greatly. In Jerusalem, the church was multiplied in Jerusalem, and I would like to say tonight that the deacons proved a real asset to the first church of the Almighty God. And I say this tonight as humbly as I know how. I believe that God's got deacons tonight that are still a real asset to the church of the living God. And I thank God for the deacons of this church. Amen. Amen. The Bible doesn't tell us much about the other 6 deacons that were elected, chosen and ordained by the apostles, but we find that Peter in the Stephen in the 8th verse, it says of him that he was full of faith and power. Full of faith in the Holy Ghost, and now it says, full of faith and power, and he did great wonders and miracles among the people. A deacon, powerfully used of God, anointed by God, great miracles and wonders wrought at his hand. And I say amen, but before long, with all that was going on, persecution came again. The devil was stirred up, and he used the religious people to stir the people, to stir the church. I want you to know tonight that the devil hasn't changed his tactics very often. He will still use religious people to mock and make fun of the true Christian. And the devil was stirred up and brought persecution, and somebody said that Stephen had blasphemed. And so he was called before the council, before the Sanhedrin court, to give a defense and answer to the accusation that had been brought against him, having blasphemed. And when Stephen was given the opportunity to answer for himself, listen closely, he did not claim to be innocent. He did not go over what he had done or not done, or what someone had said or not said. He began to tell the story of the Bible. And he began with Abraham, and he hit the highlights, how that God had brought Abraham, as I mentioned in the sermon this morning, how that Abraham obeyed God and how God had blessed him and his seed. And he went on through the Bible hitting the highlights. And finally Stephen in the 7th chapter comes down to the place where Jesus has come as the promised Messiah. How he died on the cross and was buried and rose again. And let the people know at the Sanhedrin court that I might be accused of something that I have not done. But I want you to know that I believe in him who is the Messiah that died for us and lives for us. Amen. And when Stephen began to say all of this, they were really torn apart within themselves, and they were ready to put him to death. And they did. What are you saying, preacher? What are you coming to along these lines? I came to the 7th chapter and the 44th verse where Stephen is giving defense of what they had claimed against him of blasphemy. I came to the 44th verse, and I want to read it in the 7th chapter. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. I want you to see the picture. Stephen is saying, our fathers had the tabernacle. That means Moses and the others. Our forefathers had the tabernacle yonder in the wilderness. And it was pointed out to Moses while there, when he was speaking to God, that he should make it. God said he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. It was called the tabernacle of witness for one reason. In the tabernacle that Moses was to erect in the wilderness at Mount Sinai, they were to have the outer court, they were to have the holy place, and they were to have the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, Moses was to place, had to build the Ark of the Mercy Seat, and upon the Mercy Seat have the Ark of the Covenant, and inside the Ark of the Covenant were the ten commandments that had been written by the finger of God. And I want you to know it's called the tabernacle of witness because if they would obey those ten commandments, it was a witness that God would bless them. And if they disobeyed, it was a witness that God would curse them. A tabernacle of witness shown to Moses. I tried to picture in my mind, what did Moses see? God opened his eyes and he looked into heaven. How did he see? What did he see? Evidently he saw something similar to what Moses built in the wilderness. A tabernacle that was having a holy place. A tabernacle that had a holy of holies. And God said to Moses at Mount Sinai, I want you to build the tabernacle according to what I've shown you in the heavens. This is what he really was saying. You have seen the pattern. You've seen the blueprint. Now I want you to fashion a tabernacle after the blueprint. And so I have some thoughts to bring to our attention. I'd like to give you the pattern in the Old Testament. You know the story well. The blueprint that God gave Moses in the Old Testament. Number one, we find, I think it's in the 15th chapter, or maybe the 12th chapter, of the book of Exodus. He said, I want you to have every head of the house. I want the man of the house on the 10th day of April. I want him to go into his fold and get a sheep, a lamb of the first year, and it is to be without blemish. I want him to bring, I want that man to bring that lamb up to his house. I want him to keep it until April the 14th. On April the 14th, after he has seen that there's no broken bones and no scabs or scurvy or no blemishes, I want him to kill the lamb. I want him to take the blood of the lamb and I want him to strike the two posts and the upper post of the door, because at midnight on that day, April the 14th, 1491, the death angel is coming through Egypt. Not only where the Jews live, but all over Egypt. Egyptians and Jews. If the Egyptians would listen to what you say and kill a lamb and put the blood, the angel when the passage through will pass over that house. And if the Israelis will believe what you say and kill the lamb and put the blood over the doorpost, the angel will pass over. And wherever the angel sees the angel will pass over. And where there is no blood, the firstborn will die. Listen closely. God was giving a pattern. A blueprint for the nation of Israel. If you're going to be my people, obey me, have the Passover. I went on to the 20th chapter of Exodus. Moses and the people now have been delivered from Egypt. And they've come, they obeyed God for the Passover. Now they've come to Mount Sinai. And God calls Moses to the top of Mount Sinai and said, I want to show you another part of the pattern. I've shown you the pattern of the Passover that is meant to be honored by the Jews until the Messiah comes. Mark that down in your minds tonight. God was saying to the Jews, to the Hebrews, to the children of Abraham, the seed of Abraham, this is your my design for you, my pattern for the Israeli nation from now until the Messiah comes. Every lamb that you kill, every goat that you kill, every bull that you kill will be pointing to the Messiah when He gives His life on Calvary's cross. But I want you to know, when He comes to Mount Sinai, the Lord said, come up here, Moses, and He came up, and God gave Him the Ten Commandments written by the hand of God, the moral standard, the pattern that God had for His people in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments. Morally, how to live. The pattern for the tabernacle, the pattern for the morals, how they were to go about living their lives. And then you come to the 25th chapter. Moses was instructed to erect the tabernacle in the midst of the camp of Israel, which was to be patterned after the heavenly tabernacle. First of all, it was the Passover. There's the Ten Commandments. Now it was the tabernacle when they arrived at Mount Sinai. Pattern after the heavenly tabernacle. Get your Bibles. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 8. Hebrews chapter number 8. In the first verse. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Then go to the fifth verse. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount. Here is the writer to the Hebrews,
1,500 years after God showed the pattern to Moses in the wilderness, yonder back yonder in the Old Testament, and now we find the writer to the Hebrews that is mentioning this, that Moses was told to build the tabernacle according to the pattern that God had shown him in the mount. Now then the Bible tells me that Moses obeyed the Lord. He made the tabernacle and all the furnishings according to what God had shown him and the pattern that God had made for him, shown him yonder in the glory. That is the first point of the sermon tonight, but I want everyone to understand God's got a plan and a pattern and a blueprint for every one of us. Amen. That was not anything by chance. When God called the nation of Israel out of Egypt, I want you to see the picture. Never, never, never in the history of man has there ever been anything like it. God called a people that had become a nation while they were in bondage, and then He delivers them out of that nation, and that nation was the greatest power in the world. Brother, that's the hand of God. But He didn't leave them in the wilderness to search for themselves and to find their way along. He said, this is my pattern for you. First the Passover, then the commandments, then the tabernacle. All of this is the pattern that God was outlined. I thought of something tonight after I got to church. We were in the store building, 1976-77. We hired a man to be the architect to draw the plans for our church that we were planning to build. I rode around the city. I found something. We talked amongst ourselves on the board, and we decided we would like to have it a certain design. When the architect came to meet with the board, we lined out some things, and so he went to draw it, and one day he came by where I was, or sent it, I can't remember how I got it then, but when we opened the drawings that he had, it was altogether different than what we'd asked. He decided that in the day that we're living, and that it would be better if we had a different front, a different something that looked altogether different from what we'd asked. And our people were not happy with it, not satisfied with it, and so he went back and redid. I'm not talking about the classrooms or whatever, but the appearance of the church. He went back and redid it because he did not draw the blueprint as the way we had asked him to do. Let's leave something with you tonight. God's plan is perfect. He doesn't make any mistakes. And when He gave the plan for the children of Israel, for the Passover, mark this down, that was to last until the Messiah came. They were to kill that animal every year. April the 14th, Passover and unleavened bread, the feast. They were to kill a lamb and have the Passover. And when Jesus came, He's the Passover lamb. Amen. And the Ten Commandments, that was to be their guide, the pattern, the blueprint, how to live. Love God and love your fellow man. And the tabernacle was to be patterned after what it saw. Then I went to the second point, and I jotted something down, so I'd like to read it. Just as sure as God had a pattern for the tabernacle in the wilderness under the Old Testament, God has a pattern for the church under the New Covenant. Let me say that again. I'm sure what I told you already tonight is true. God had a pattern for the Old Testament, the saints of God, the Old Testament believers, how that they were to follow Him and love Him and obey Him. But God has a pattern for the church in the New Testament time. It's important for us to know tonight, and you can mark this down, it was not patterned. It was not thought of by the apostles. The New Testament church was not developed, nor planned, nor patterned by Peter, who preached the first Pentecostal sermon. It was a pattern, a fashion by John, who was called the beloved disciple. It wasn't fashioned, nor drawn up by Paul, that great apostle of God who wrote a good part of the New Testament and was a great pioneer evangelist. It was not a pattern by man. The New Testament church was patterned by God. By the triune Godhead, by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. We mentioned in Bible study when it came time for God to create the heavens and the earth. The Bible tells me that God the Father willed it, God the Son spoke it, and God the Holy Ghost put it into practice, put it into being. I wouldn't know the same thing about the church. God the Holy Ghost and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, they're all three together working to build the church. They patterned it. They fashioned it. And God said to Moses, I want you to fashion the tabernacle of what you've seen. And he's saying to the church tonight, I've got a plan. And the apostles and the others did not come up with a plan. I came up with a plan. And the only part that we have in it, and keep this in mind, is to carry out the plan. Carry out the blueprint. I am not a builder. I have mentioned that. I did have a plumb line in my hand the other Sunday. But I'm not a builder. I don't know a lot about building. I learned more about building when we were building this church than I ever knew. And I've forgotten now all that I learned then. I never took shop. Never built a doghouse nor a birdhouse. That would not even be good for the bird or the dog. I am not a carpenter. And I've seen some things that people took shortcuts. Let me just use an illustration that was not a shortcut, but we were going to build a church in Arizona. We started it in December 1964. The second church that we established or pioneered. Sierra Vista, we'd been there 3 years, and then later on, 1964, we were pioneering a new church in West Phoenix, and after God was blessing and we had bought some property and having services in the home and renovated the home and we were going to build, and so I had somebody to draw up the plans. He didn't know a whole lot about drawing up plans. He was cheap. In fact, I don't think he charged us anything. That's cheap. And when we built it, and I wasn't a builder then. When we built it, I thought later on, man, at the space we just wasted. I'm glad we had an architect to design the rooms. Who would have thought to put a closet underneath the stairwell? I wouldn't. And when we had built that education building and some classrooms and some bathrooms, I thought later on how much space we wasted because we didn't have the proper design. Listen closely. God doesn't waste any space. When God outlined for the church, He's got it right down the line. He has designed the pattern. And I'm grateful to Him for that. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Man did not have any part in designing or fashioning the pattern. It's all by God. Remember, God will use those that are holy and righteous in order to accomplish His will, to build the church, to proclaim the gospel, and those that will follow the leadership of the Almighty. God will use them to build the church. Amen. God's given a pattern for the church. I'm not going to try to run through a lot of list of things, but God has ordained some things. And any time we get away from that, we are not building the church that God desires. I know that Jesus said in the 16th chapter of Matthew, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, but He's going to use you and me if we'll serve Him and love Him and live for Him. And so, the pattern that God has for the church. Let me use some illustrations about the plan that God has, what have you. When the time for the flood to come, evil was in the world, God had Noah to build an ark. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but when you read that 5th, 6th, and 7th chapters of the book of Genesis, you'll find that God gave him the pattern. God told him how long to make it, how wide to make it, how high to make it. God gave him the instructions of how to go about what to put, what kind of boards, and to pitch it with certain things and what have you. God gave him the pattern. Do you know why so many lives have been shipwrecked tonight? It's because people have followed the pattern made by man and not by God. Help us, God, I pray. I read in the Bible how that came a time when Isaiah, I was seeking God and searching for God in the 6th chapter of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the Bible tells me that he saw the King high and lifted up. The King, the Lord, lion, said his train filled the temple. And the angelic beings were crying, Holy, 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 unto the Lord God Almighty. And the Bible says that Isaiah, when he saw that, he said, Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. And the Bible tells me that a seraphim came and took the tongues them off the altar and got a hot coal and placed it on his lips and pressed him. And then he heard the words of the Almighty God saying, Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, Here am I, send me, amen. Do you know what God needs tonight? Somebody will say, Here am I, Lord, send me. God's building the church. His church. He designed it. Isaiah, when his lips were purged, then God was ready to use him on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached. I want you to understand this a week before that. Peter had nothing to preach. Peter was in no condition to preach. But now he's been with the others while Jesus has gone away, and they prayed and they sought God. And God has gotten them all in one accord. He's purged them. He's cleansed them. He's sanctified them. And when the Holy Ghost came, the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. As God gave them utterance, the Holy Ghost began to move in their lives. Why? Because they loved each other and they loved God. And everything was all right between them and God. What are you saying, preacher? That was God's plan. And God's plan is still in effect. He still fills people with the Holy Ghost. That are sanctified holy. You can mark this down. We talked about it in Bible study. Nowhere in the Bible, in the New Testament, nor since, has God ever filled anyone with the Holy Ghost with sin into life. God's got a pattern. God's got a plan. God's got a blueprint for the church. Stephen proclaimed the truth, and it cost him his life. Now, I don't know, and you've heard me say this a many times, I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. I know this. We have been a people that have never really suffered persecution. We really, personally, don't know much about persecution. I am really not anxious to learn. But I ask you the question, and I ask myself, if persecution was come to America, like came to the Jews in Germany and Poland and the rest during the Second World War, if persecution came to America like it has in China and many other places, do I have what I need to stand the test? I'll tell you something, folks, he's got a pattern. And if we'll follow the pattern, whatever comes our way, we can make it. We read the history of those that have suffered. Man, read the stories of some missionaries in the library. Read the stories of some of those in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Read some of those that went through so much in their lives. What took place and how that they stood tall for God. As I've read that over and over again, I've asked myself, Glenn, would you be willing to do the same thing? God's got a pattern. And we're not exempt from troubles and tribulations. God's been mighty good to us. But God's got a pattern. If we will obey Him, He will build upon it. The third thing that I'd like to mention tonight, the Bible tells me, even in the days of the apostles, and in our Sunday school lesson this morning, that even in the very first century, the church that was being built upon the pattern that God had outlined began to depart from the truth that God had placed there for them. Man began to modify the plan, change the blueprint, build as he saw fit, what he wanted, regardless, and I say this tonight, regardless of the name, of the church, or any religion around the world, regardless of any status, or membership, or finances, or whatever,
If it is not built upon the pattern that God has outlined, it is man designed, man planned, and man built, and it will fall. I read in the book of Matthew from the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus said, I'm going to give you a story of house builders. One built his house upon the sand, and when the storms came and the winds blew, his house was built upon the sand, and his house fell. Another built his house upon the rock, and when all the storm was raging, the house stood tall because it was founded on the rock. And I tell you tonight, the rock is Jesus. And I'm glad our salvation is founded on the Lord, not founded on the bishop, not founded on the pastor, not founded on the deacons, not founded on some church name, founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's going to stand the test of the ages. Well, brother, that's something to shout about. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The plan of God is man will come God's way, that we will repent of our sins, bow our knee before the Lord, confess our sins to the Lord, and the Bible tells me that He will forgive, and I'm glad He forgave me. God's got a pattern for the church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. So many, the sad thing about it is, multiplied thousands have departed from the truth. The church has begun to go away from the pattern that God outlined. Peter wrote about it. John wrote about it. Paul wrote about it. Jude wrote about it. In their day, in the Sunday school lesson this morning, John said they're already Antichrist, have come in to the church. They were from us. They came out of the church. They attended church. But they turned out not to be of God. And there are multiplied thousands tonight around the world that are building a name, but not building according to God's pattern. So before I conclude tonight, I just want to say this here. I thank you, church. We don't have a lot to boast about or brag about. Really, we have nothing. And without God, we can do nothing. We might as well realize that. But I thank God, and I say it humbly as I know how, I thank God for every one of you that have held to the truth. And I mean it. I thank God for every one of you that have realized that if we make it to the other side with victory, we'll have to go God's route. And you've determined in your hearts. And you're following the Lord. And I appreciate every one of you. I love you. And I thank God for the Abundant Life Tabernacle. I'd love to see a revival, a Holy Ghost revival, a move of God, divine healing in our midst, miracles. As Stephen saw, I believe God's still on the throne. I believe His pattern has not been altered. I believe He's still God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, I will have a church. They believe in me. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall cast out demons and all the rest. He goes down the line. I believe God is still God. And the pattern He has for the church, that He wants a dynamic church, a powerful church, a church that loves God. I thank you, church, tonight for who you are. I thank God for every one of you tonight, but I want everyone to understand God's got a pattern that we might have. A Holy Ghost-filled church, an anointed church, a powerful church. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That God will be manifest in our midst. The glory of the Lord will come down. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of the Lord will fill the place. And the people will be blessed. Amen, amen. We've had services in this sanctuary, in this very sanctuary, when it seemed the Holy Ghost was real, and the Spirit of the Lord was moving, and the Shekinah glory filled the place, and people began to shout and praise God. Brother, God's plan is still real. Still real tonight. His plan hasn't changed. His plan hasn't changed. Hallelujah. Oh God, one more time. How many have fallen aside, apart from the very first century? They began to depart from the pattern. Man thought that he knew better than God. We don't need to go that way. We've got a better way. Listen, there's no better way than God's way. And finally, thanking God for the pattern that Moses followed, I thank God for the true Christian church. It was planned and fashioned by the Almighty. I see no reason at all to try to alter it, change His plan. That which was good for the apostles 2,000 years ago has been good for millions from that time till now, and is still good tonight. I thank God for the church these last days. I don't want to change the plan. I'm just going to make a mention of one thing or two, and we're going to pray. I imagine that John's heart was broken, having seen the mighty move of God after Pentecost, and in that same century before he died, had seen a powerful church, blessed by God, anointed by God, used by God. So many thousands have been saved, has seen the very church of the living God. People began to depart. That must have broken his heart. Began to depart from the truth. And they've continued from that time until this. People have decided that they know a better way, a better route. And I am not rejoicing to tell you this, but having been raised in the Pentecostal Holiness Church, and saw God move in my own family, and the power of God manifest, I'm sorry to tell you this, but the Pentecostal Holiness Church has departed in a great way from the pattern that God outlined. As has the Church of God, the Assemblies of God, and so many others. And I'm not a judge, but I know this. I have seen what John saw. John said in his day, almost 2,000 years ago, they're already departing. They're listening to false doctrines. And they've gotten their eyes on something else, and they're not following the plan. I'll tell you what I want us to do tonight as we come to the altar. I want us to ask God to show us the plan one more time. Not so much the plan for the Israelites and the Passover and the Ten Commandments and the tabernacle, but the plan that God has for the church. Show us one more time tonight. Show us one more time your plan for the church. Not man-made, not man-planned, not man-designed, but your hand, God. Sometimes I don't know how to conclude. I don't know exactly what to say. I promised myself that I was not going to mention anymore. But how close I have to have come to the end, that's not important. But I want to see the church have one more move of God, one more spiritual awakening. I want every one of us to be a part of it. God, show us your plan one more time. It is not man-made. Somebody years ago said, Brother Jones's church, this is not Brother Jones's church. He's the builder. If he doesn't build it, it'll never amount to anything. Hallelujah. I thank God for what he's done. Moses, the Bible said, he built the tabernacle according to the plan that God showed him in the wilderness at Sinai. Help us to build a bundle-like tabernacle according to your plan through our hearts and our lives and our labors together. Will you stand together with me? Praise God, praise God, praise God.